I'm excited about this class because throughout my pastorate, as I have worked with people, one of the primary areas of counseling that I regularly am a part of are trying to help people navigate areas of hurts or wounds in their relationships. And I think it's particularly both accessible, as we'll learn today, but challenging for a believer, because we're navigating a lot of emotions and feelings about our own personal hurt, and yet there's this expectation as a believer that maybe we shouldn't have that, and that's sinful, and how do we process through that and still do the right thing towards other people? So it can become a very confusing issue for believers. It can become an issue that can sideline them from, I think, being effective, even in relationships that they think might not be very effective. So my hope is, and we only have 3 Sundays to do it in, but my hope is that I can give you some tools, insight, and at the very least, encouragement about how God has fashioned, called us, and equipped us to really pursue reconciliation and what it looks like to heal relationships. So
we're going to dig into that this morning. If you have your notes, there's a couple things I'd like you to notice about them. There's a place where you can mark down things that stick out to you that you want to remember about each section that we'll go through. And then also, there's a QR code at the bottom corner. Now, it might not be accessible right now, but sometime this week, we're actually taping the audio of this class. So that way you can go back and listen to it again, process through your notes. Or if there's somebody you'd like to share it with that you think it'd be helpful for you to enter into, hey, you know, I'm really wanting to mend a relationship here. I'm kind of going through this study. I'd like you to go through it with me. Maybe God would work to kind of help us out in this. It's available for you as a tool that way as well to use in your own life, however you think God might allow you to use it. So, well, let's do this. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into it. I'm going to go through the teaching part. I'm going to try to leave time for discussion because I think that's where the real help is going to be. So be thinking about how whatever I'm teaching is hitting you and the questions that is producing. And if they're too personal, that's fine. You can schedule a time with me at some other point where you can ask maybe more personal questions. But there's something about the dynamic of what we're talking about that you're like, boy, in my circumstance, I don't really see how that works. Can you explain this a little bit more? We can get into some discussion that will hopefully help you be able to apply what we're learning today as well. So let's pray and ask help from the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we come before you knowing that many hearts are heavy regarding people that are in our lives. People that we would like to have better relationships with, people that we would like to not be hurt concerning, people that are perhaps family or had been at one point friends, and now there's a divide, there's a wound, there's a hurt, there's a breach of trust, there's something that's happened that's now created a separation, a barrier, something hard for us to really handle. And so, God, I pray that in only the way that you can, you would speak to our hearts, that you would help guide us through these difficulties, and that you would help prepare us to experience the most fruit we can out of our relationships. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, again, the whole class is called Healing Broken Relationships. And that's really, I think, something that is spoken to a lot in Scripture. We have, as our example, the great reconciler, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. This morning, we're going to be dealing with embracing the responsibility of healing broken relationships. A lot of people, when they're hurt, they displace responsibility. We feel the wound, we feel the pain, and I'm not the one responsible for that. And let me just say this, you may not, in large part, be the responsible party for your hurt and for your pain. That doesn't mean you don't have a responsibility toward it, though. That doesn't mean that you get a get-out-of-jail-free card. That doesn't mean that you don't have a calling that God has given you as a believer filled with His Spirit to pursue reconciliation and restoration. And so we're going to deal with that responsibility today, and we're going to deal with it primarily out of the passage that's given to us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. So let's walk through it together. You're welcome to turn there if you want to in your Bibles as well, but the verses will be here on the screen if you can see them. So let's look through these verses here.
2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse number 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. By the way, if you're saved this morning, how many of you are glad all things become new in our life? I want you to grab onto that, because that's going to become very important in what we're discussing this morning, okay? Notice as we continue, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us. What does it mean to reconcile? Well, reconciliation is the opposite of separation. We've been learning in Genesis chapter number 3 about the origins of sin and how sin separated us in relationship with God. Well, what God did through killing the animal and clothing them with the coats of skins, pointing to the Lamb of God who would come and pay the price for our sins, is he reconciled Adam and Eve back into relationship. In other words, where they were separated, he closed the gap. By the way, how many of you are glad he also closed the gap for you and I if we know Christ as our Savior? He died on the cross for your sin and for my sin. So now that separation can be reconciled. Where the numbers were out of whack, where the books were out of whack, he's now justified that, reconciled it. I'm sure, how many of you remember when people used to do checkbooks? Right? And you would reconcile your checkbook. You'd look at the statement, you'd look at the checkbook, you'd go through the process, and you'd reconcile to make sure it all evened out. Well, that's what God did for us, okay? So he reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So now, this is where we start to dive into our own personal responsibility in this, okay? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So let's pray, and then we're going to talk through what this means concerning our responsibility for healing broken relationships, for reconciliation. Let's pray together. Lord, you've given us truth. Now we have to process it, because this hits us all kinds of funny ways. Lord, we are very good at denying responsibility. We're very good at feeling our pain very, Lord, very vividly. And as a result of that, it can blind us to how you've equipped us and how you've called us as your children. So, Lord, help us to understand the dynamics of what reconciliation is, what our part is in it, how we approach it, and what it looks like in our lives so that we can be faithful to what you've called us to. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we kind of dig into things this morning, I believe first in our passage, the thing that helps us out is seeing that we were actually made and created for reconciliation. Now, not in our natural man, but as a new creation. How many of you understand in our natural man, our desires to react to whatever comes our way? You know, I think that's even a law of physics. To every action, there is an equal and opposite what?
Reaction.
And we tend to be very reactive people. If pain comes our way, we start throwing punches as well. If difficulty comes our way, we start becoming defensive and abrasive. And so in the natural man, we are not outfitted very well for healing broken relationships. In fact, we're outfitted in our natural man doubling down, protecting ourselves, making sure that we don't experience more hurt. So that's who we are in the natural man. But what this verse is saying is that we've been created for something different. We have been recreated, if we know Christ, as a new creature. We no longer solely look internally or selfishly to protect our own selves. Now, other people matter to us like they matter to Christ. Let me say that again. Other people matter to us like they matter to Christ. How many of you understand that your enemy today matters to Christ?
Yes.
This is why God said that we are to even love our enemies. How do we do that in our own flesh? I'll tell you what, I consider it a challenge in the spirit to do that. Let alone just being a natural man that is operating in my own fleshly impulses. So this whole issue of healing broken relationships would be impossible, honestly, if there wasn't something new about what God did in our heart when we got saved. But this is what God says happened. If any man is in Christ, if they've been saved, if Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, if the Spirit of God is in them, they are now not that old creature. They're a new creature. In fact, old things are passed away. The old man dies with Christ. The new man is risen in him, and so all things are become new. So this is your first understanding of your responsibility in healing broken relationships, is this: you're made for it. If you're saved, you're made for it. It is part of your spiritual DNA. In fact, I take it a step further. If you're truly ever going to be like Christ, it means that you have to embrace this part of your new creation. That you actively are looking to heal broken relationships. Now, I've had broken relationships in my own life. I've had hurts in my own life. And I'm just going to be very transparent with you. It is not easy to walk in the spirit concerning this. The flesh reacts very violently towards some hurts that come our way. Now, I've not experienced anything tragic. I've not experienced anything abusive. I've not experienced anything coercive. I've not experienced anything at the depths that I know some people experience hurt. And we can talk about that perhaps in our discussion a little bit. But the principle applies towards everything. In fact, when we examine the hurts that Jesus took for us, we see that he endured every possible type of hurt. In fact, it says that in the book of Hebrews. We have not a high priest that is untouched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, every way, was in all points tempted, tested, tried as we are. And then it says this, yet without what? So what was that yet without sin? Yes, it means he lived a sinless, perfect life. But in the context, it means so much more. That in that moment of pain and reviling, it says this, as Peter writes, he reviled not again. He didn't lash out. He didn't swing back. In fact, do you remember the words from the cross? When he saw people parting his garments for sport. Somebody tell me what he said. Say it nice and loud. That's rough on the way I feel about things. So with me, not having experienced betrayal in that fashion that Jesus did, not having experienced a crown of thorns beat into my brow, not experienced my beard ripped from my face, not experienced the lashes on my back, not experienced the mocking and cruelty of the robe and the tearing of the garments and the sign above my head mocking the kind of king I am, not experiencing any of those things, I'm called to be new like Christ in this area of healing broken relationships where Christ even gave his life for that prospect. That's how hotly he pursued it in the will of the Father. So I want to build out a context about our responsibility in this. You cannot shirk your own personal responsibility in what you're called to do in healing your own broken relationships. You can't hide in the back and blame, and never activate anything. There's a responsibility for every believer with a broken relationship to pursue what we're going to talk about here this morning. So that is our responsibility. There's no wiggle room for that. It's our responsibility. So we see that we're made for reconciliation. Secondly, we see that we're called to the ministry of reconciliation. So this is where it starts to get activated. We see that we're made for it. We're outfitted for it. You can do this in the Spirit of God. I know you think you can't. I know you think that when that family member criticized your Thanksgiving recipe, that there's no coming back from that. Okay? But there is, that you're made for it. There is the potentiality and possibility because the Spirit of God is in you.
So you're made for it. But not only that, you're actually called to the ministry of it. This is the active pursuit of what we see in Christ and in the new creation. Notice what it says. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean, the ministry of reconciliation? That means that not only are you made for it, but you're called to it. You're not just made for it, you're called to it. And let me express this. You're called to it in every arena that you are placed in by God. I believe this. You're called to it in your family, obviously. You're called to it in your marriage relationship. You're called to it in your workplace, where there's strife and embattlement, and everybody gets around the water cooler, and they're like plotting and wondering and fighting and coercing and up-wanting other people. The Christian isn't a part of that dialogue. The Christian is seeking, how can we get this mended? And that doesn't mean that we ignore justice or things that need to be done or calling out bad situations, but it means that whatever needs to happen, we're bringing the presence of Christ into that, not to stir it up, not to fraction it all apart, not to divide it all asunder, but to seek out the opportunities for reconciliation. I can't tell you the number of times as I worked in the secular field in the workplace where people would get off kilter with each other. This particular manager was not seeing eye to eye with this manager, and they were using resources that this manager needed or pursuing an objective that was causing more trouble for this manager. And they would just battle and fight, and eventually I had to get everybody around the table and sit there and mediate that. And it wasn't even my job to mediate it, but we weren't making productive numbers in our business. And so we needed to sit down at the table and work through how we can reconcile the situation. And I'll tell you what, I got more opportunities when I would assert myself to try to figure out how to solve the problem instead of be part of the nagging and criticizing and upsetting conversation that was going on around the water cooler, how then people would come to me out of personal things in their lives where I was able to share with them that I'm a believer, share with them the gospel, invite them to come to church, connect other truths in their lives from God's word, because in my workplace, I brought with me the ministry of reconciliation. So this ministry follows us no matter where we're at, healing relationships that are around us, not making it more complicated. Now, there's how many of you understand there's complicated people no matter what you do? We'll talk about that maybe in our discussion. But right now, I just want us to grab onto a sense of our responsibility. Our responsibility personally is we're made for this and we're called to this. We have a ministry of reconciliation.
Okay. As we examine healing broken relationships, we see we're made for reconciliation. We're called to the ministry of reconciliation. And we're also given the means of reconciliation. We're given the means of reconciliation. Notice it with me. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the what?
Word.
The word of reconciliation. So we see that we have the means of reconciliation because we have the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? It's this whole book. I mean, you can't get away from it no matter where you go. So how can we get away from it in our own lives? From Genesis all the way to Revelation. I mean, even in the obscure books like Esther and Ruth and some of the prophetic books, you're not going to find a single area of Scripture that reconciliation doesn't permeate the message. It's there. And this whole word is about how God had a sovereign plan before the foundation of the world to reconcile and bring together relationship between mankind and God. And so we have the word. So what does that mean? It means that we have examples. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. We've got what happened in the Garden of Eden. We're going to learn in Genesis what happened with Joseph and his brothers. I remember what happened with Joseph and his brothers. Do you remember how his brothers hated Joseph and threw him in the pit, sold him into slavery? And then Joseph has a pretty difficult life, being accused of sin in Potiphar's house, being thrown into prison.
While he's in prison, God elevates him. He becomes second in command only to Pharaoh. And then he meets his brothers again. And I'll tell you what I'd have done.
Not starved.
Oh, man. I know. Oh.
Are you a little hungry?
What do you need, boys? What do you need?
I mean, I would like to think that at some point I would have forgiven them, but I would have really taken them through the paces first. I know that Joseph kind of did, but he did it for a reason, and it wasn't for spite. But, I mean, I don't know where you can wiggle away from there not being examples, application, surrendering to God and His will, instead of asserting our own need to right our own wrongs and fix our own wounds and take vengeance for our own hurts. You're just not going to find that in here. Everything you're going to find in here leads us to this ministry of reconciliation. It's the word of reconciliation. If you're crossways with somebody in your life and there's a hurt in the relationship, if you're truly reading the word of God, I don't believe you're able to maintain that hurt as the dominating factor of your life and your relationship, because everything you're going to read is going to show you the grace of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the reconciliation of God, the price and sacrifice we pay ourselves to insert ourselves into that position. It's there. And I know we can get to it in our discussion. There are boundaries that we have to set that are true boundaries that provide an opportunity of reconciliation without us crossing outside of the will of God too. So it's not like we're turning over all of our principles in order to reconcile people, but we are to be in a position where we're using the word and the examples and thrust and the impetus of Scripture to be part of what God is doing in reconciling people.
So as we look at healing broken relationships, we see that we're made for reconciliation. We're called to the ministry of reconciliation. We have the means of reconciliation. But then there is a mission of reconciliation. And I love this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Okay, what have we been talking about? What does it mean we're ambassadors? Well, we're witnesses. Okay, I can go with that. That's fine. That's not what's being talked about in the context.
You know what you're an ambassador of? Can I just see this? You're not the only one hurting. How many of you understand this whole world is just a big heaping pot of hurt? That's all that's around. Everybody's hurting about something. Everybody's had somebody hurt them. Everybody's part of some hurtful thing. This whole world's a big pot of brewing, messy hurt. And what are we? We're the ambassadors of dealing with that hurt. We're the ambassadors that are bringing the hope and truth of reconciliation to that hurt. Because when Christ comes to bear in any situation, he bears up under that hurt and pain because he took all of our hurt, all of our pain, all of our shame on himself when he went to the cross for our sins. And because we still carry this flesh, we still feel the remnants of that hurt and pain. But I still believe this. Jesus said on the cross, it is what? Finished. And that's everything that has to do with sin. The hurt, the pain, the shame, the separation. He finished taking all of that on himself, that if we'll trust him and live in him and be guided by his power and strength and wisdom, we can be ambassadors for him who also are able to take the load of hurt and pain and give it to the one who can handle it. So, I think it's so important for us to realize, before we go any further with any more lessons on this, that we have a firm, definitive responsibility that we cannot hide from the hurts that have happened in our life. We cannot hide from the people that have hurt us or that we've hurt. We have to actively be part of Christ's ministry of reconciliation in their lives.
And this is the scriptural basis for that. Now, let's start having some discussions about what that practically looks like. Undoubtedly, in this room, and we could have probably had many, many more people. We kind of capped it just to make sure there was room in here and whatever. But we probably could have many more people in this class that would have signed up for it. So everybody has experience with hurt. How does this strike you? What questions
pop up in your mind as you're thinking about, man, I have a responsibility in this, but this person did this, and this person did this. How do I navigate my feelings? How do I navigate the process of practically trying to reach people and bring them into relationship? Because I think there are some other things in this verses that, even if you don't have questions, I'm going to turn to start to explain that. But this is where I think it's good to kind of hear where you're settled with this, and maybe challenges that we all have in trying to bring this ministry of reconciliation into hurtful situations. So, yeah, Jesse.
Of course, God reconciled the world to him, so everybody had that opportunity. But while Jesus was on earth, were there examples, can you think of somebody doing wrong to him, and he could have, well, of course, besides being beaten and everything, but he had the opportunity to reconcile with them while he was on earth, but they chose not to go back to him?
So I believe that Judas would have been one that could have potentially, but I mean, he was cast as, you know, Jesus saying, go do what you're going to do. And, you know, there was that predisposition that he was going to be the one that would betray Christ. But Peter, you know, he denied him, ran from him, but eventually reconciled with Jesus there at the shoreline. There were many people who came to Jesus that were shown how to reconcile, like the lawyer who stood up and said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus went into the parable of the Good Samaritan and showed who the neighbor was. It doesn't say that lawyer, you know, repented or changed his heart or mind towards his understanding of a neighbor. But certainly the messaging of reconciliation was there all throughout Jesus' ministry, in the parables that he gave, in the ways he interacted with people, in not being the condemner. In fact, he said in John chapter number 3, verse number 17, I have not come to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. So all of the thrust of Jesus' ministry was constantly in this path of reconciliation. So, does that answer your question?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Great. Any other questions about maybe personally how to navigate hurt with another person? Because there's only one. This only deals with you and me. That's really where our responsibility lies. But what if I am wanting to reconcile? What if I am trying? What are some dynamics that maybe we struggle with that? Yes.
In my personal situation, the person I would like to reconcile with, I can't. That doesn't mean it won't happen this way. I can't imagine her even wanting to hear me, I'm done with, you know, it's done, you know, we're not, I don't know how to approach that.
Sure. Well, I understand that there are hurts that can develop where people won't even entertain conversation, but that doesn't mean that you can't go to God. Mm-hmm. You know, intercession is still part of the conversation, whether they're participating or not. When Jesus was on the cross, he couldn't go to those that were parting his garments and say, hey, I'm the Savior. You're doing this and you're my enemy right now, but we can be reconciled. If they're not hearing him. So what did he do? He went to the Father and he said, Father, forgive them for, you know. So we can stand in the gap through intercessory prayer and we can start the lines of communication. See, we think often that prayer is like a sideline conversation. It's the dominating conversation. Prayer has to be the dominating conversation because you're going to get into a lot of scenarios where either you've hurt somebody or they've hurt you, and there's been a closing down of that conversation line, and you've got to really rely and trust in your prayer time and standing in the gap in that relationship. But that doesn't mean that then you put it to the far recesses and corners of your life and like, all right, well, once a year when I think about it, I'll pray for it. If it's a hurt that is dominating a relationship that you know you can reconcile because your heart's open to do it, I think it is our responsibility in our ministry to go in prayer and intercede on that until that door opens up. So, and then I believe we've done what we can do. I mean, we still look for those opportunities. And we don't turn them down and just say, well, I'll just pray for them. When they come, we need to take advantage of it. But that prayer could be that opening door that brings us to that point. So great question.
Great question. Because I think a lot of people are in that position. You know, I'd love to try and make headway, but they're just not even going to be open to communicating with me. So, yeah. Brian.
I think that talks to some thoughts that were in my mind about how much responsibility do we accept for how they're behaving. I mean, you can't. So your heart has to be that you love them regardless. And I love the intercession piece because that's everything. In as much as you can do something to affect communication or whatever, that's great, but you're not responsible for the result. We also don't know what God's doing in their hearts.
Yeah.
He may be using this for some reason, like the prodigal son, right? Well, the father didn't just chase him all over the countryside, but God brought him to a place of humility and brought him back in a place of repentance. So I love the aspect of that doesn't stop you from still loving them and praying for them and taking responsibility to not have the attitude towards them.
Yes.
But it is absolutely paramount that you recognize that God's in control of the whole situation and you don't imagine that somehow you're responsible for the final result, but you still have to be faithful.
I think that's a great point, Brian, and we're continuing. I'm just going to say this over and over again because we're recording it, but we're continuing to talk about, you know, if somebody's not open to discussing with us reconciliation, utilizing prayer.
Yep.
And it helps us just as much as it helps that
yes,
person.
Yep.
Because as we intercede, it doesn't cause distance in our heart from that person. It keeps it fresh so that we're constantly in that burdened position of standing in the gap, interceding on behalf of that relationship, which is so very important. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Do you think it's our ministry to pursue reconciliation even if you're hurt so bad? I mean, so this is what I deal with as a pastor. Abuse. Adultery. Betrayal. Thievery. Molestation. Murder. What do you do in those situations? How do you prepare your heart to fulfill ministry like that? I mean, am I the only one in here, or would you have a problem? I mean, it's, okay, all right, so they made fun of my stuffing recipe. Okay, it was hurtful, but, you know, I can stand in the gap on that, and I think I can muster up enough walking in the Spirit to go to the Lord and ask Him to, can we have a conversation, a real conversation about my stuffing? Okay. And work out the differences here. I think the stuffing is okay. But what about some of these graver issues where it's like, they hurt me and I can't. I mean, where do we draw the line about setting proper boundaries with somebody who's unrepentant? And we're seeking that there would be some kind of restoration, that there would be some kind of reconciliation. But there's a danger aspect to this too, or a compromising aspect to it. How do you understand? Not every situation is cut and dry in our minds with just, okay, well, I'm just going to apply God's forgiveness to this. And what about those? Am I the only one that would struggle with that, or would you guys kind of struggle with some of those areas as well?
What about the risk of it happening again?
The risk of
yourself
happening
right
again?
Up to that.
Yeah. So what about that? What, I mean, do we just reconcile and let everything back into our lives again? Or what is really our responsibility as we pursue reconciliation? What are the tools that God gives us to know how to frame this reconciliation in something that's actually productive and fruitful, and not just a carte blanche just saying, okay, well, it's no big deal. You're right back in my life again. And I'm a doormat. I'm a doormat for Jesus. Just walk all over me and do what you want to me. I don't think Jesus was that way either. How do you understand that while Jesus didn't revile again, he did speak the truth? He did stand in certainty. There were certain things he was not going to do to accommodate the crowds, or to accommodate behavior, or to accommodate the blasphemy, or to accommodate any of those things. So there's a way that you can stand in a position of reconciliation and not necessarily open yourself up in an unwise way to just be sifted by Satan like wheat. There's a way to be able to do that. And so I don't know that we have time to press into that today, but next week we're going to cover some of those things. Okay, how do we press forward now? We've seen embracing responsibility, but now how do we,
outfit ourselves with the tools, the knowledge, the wisdom to set what that responsibility looks like in our life practically. How do we engage with people that have been hurtful or perpetually hurtful or dangerously hurtful? That might be in our families, might be in our relationships, might be in our churches. What do we need to do about that? So we'll kind of pick up where we left off from that next week. I want you to know I'm praying for all of you. This is a ministry God has given to us. We're made for it. He's called us to it. He's given us the means and the word so that we can know how to do it. And we need to be on mission. I want you to think of this. I want you to pray for this. I want you to pray for this week. Lord, would you make me your ambassador of reconciliation? Would you help me to look for where there's rifts, where there's hurts, where there's burdens? And would you allow me to bring the ministry of your word into that, into my life and into other people's lives so that I can minister with this understanding that God doesn't want separation. He wants closeness and connection. So let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this time together. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the truth that we can operate in. I pray that you'd help each and every one of us to understand our responsibility in healing broken relationships, that we have a ministry of reconciliation, and give us the strength to perform it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you guys very much.